CliffCentral.com.
A little bit of Sam Smith for you this morning with Diamonds. They, Sam Smith now wants to go by they, right? So they are still producing good songs, even if they are confused about their gender.
You know, I knew it was going to get here. While the song was playing, I thought, should I say something to set you up? And then I thought, let's leave it. But I knew.
How clever is Sam Smith to have got on this gender bandwagon? Because it makes everybody think about him and talk about him, and it's selling his music. It's very clever. It's cynical as hell. I don't believe them for a minute that they don't know what's going on here, that this isn't calculated. I don't believe any of that stuff. I think they are taking us all for fools. But it works. Oh, if you want to market your shitty music, then that's a way to do it. I'm telling you, it makes a difference in this.
No, we were singing his songs.
I like the songs. But if you want to break through the clutter and you want to be the big thing, the next big thing, you know, and you want to keep yourself current, this is a great way to do it. That's all I'm saying. All right. Okay. So there's a thing we need to talk about this morning, which I think is kind of bizarre. But we often on this show, and I'm glad Mbulelo's not on today because he would lose his mind over this. Uh-oh. There's this bridesmaid's contract that has come up. I don't know who this person is, but a certain bride actually drafted a contract with 37 rules that the bridesmaids are not allowed to break. I mean, I don't know who this person is. They think they're Meghan Markle marrying Prince Harry or something. But there are 37 rules that these other bridesmaids are not allowed to break. And if they do break them, then they're in breach of contract, and the bride clearly could sue them. Now, yeah, we've spoken time after time on the show about how weddings have become just completely ridiculous. You know, it's become like the single greatest showpiece of most people's lives, and they want it all to be perfect. And I'm very sympathetic to any girl who wants to make her wedding day special. I get that completely. I'm 100% in favor of that. But when you start drafting contracts and getting lawyers to enforce 37 different rules for your bridesmaids, which include things that you're not going to believe, Sia's going to tell you what those rules are. You tell me if you think this is getting a little bit crazy and totally ridiculous.
Yeah, look, on the onset, I'll quickly answer that and say yes, it is getting crazy and extremely ridiculous. So she is a normal Joseph. We don't even know her name, but her contract with her bridesmaids has now gone viral on social media. The contract boasts several of these extreme rules. So here are just some of them. She has 10 bridesmaids, and all of them have had to sign this. One of them is that the bridesmaids cannot intentionally fall pregnant before the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Then the bridesmaids will not be allowed highlighted or blonde hair on the day of the wedding. The contract reads, I will only wear black or dark brown hair on the day of the wedding. She herself admits that she's bossy by putting this all down on paper, but actually she doesn't feel bad about this at all. Here's the rest of the contract. I will not try to convince the bride to change anything in her wedding. I will not talk negative about anyone in the wedding. I will not gain more than 3 kgs between now and the wedding.
Sure.
Wow. That one actually, that there might be something there. I have to attend the bridal shower and the bachelorette party, fitting and rehearsals and wedding. Only time this can be missed is death or jail, pregnancy over 5 months, and some sickness with recent doctor's note. I will take care of my skin, hair, nails from now until the wedding. The bride will choose my makeup artist the day of the wedding, and it goes on and on and on.
Some part of me thinks, like, challenge accepted. It seems like a cool personal challenge to meet. But most of me is like, fuck you, I don't want to actually be part of the wedding party anymore. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, she's really testing her friendship, isn't she? Because a lot of girls would be, you know what? I don't see why I have to comply with all these stupid rules. And it sounds to me like she wants you there for like 8 days, not just for the day of the wedding. I'm sorry. I like, if you ask me, and a couple of my friends have, and I'm very careful when I accept to be someone's best man or to make a speech at their wedding, because I know it's a huge honor, right? So if someone asks you to do that, it's because you're one of the most important people in their lives, clearly. So I'm always flattered by it, but I'm careful to say yes to, because some of them, I don't feel that close to them, frankly. And I'm also nervous to say yes because I know what the responsibilities entail. And sometimes those responsibilities are not responsibilities I want. You've got to be very careful about what you accept when it comes to weddings. And, you know, Mbulelo hates this stuff. I mean, he just sent me a message saying he cannot stand anything more. There's nothing that pisses him off more than some rich, bored Hausfrau who's planning her wedding. He says that they irritate him because it's pure self-indulgence. It's putting on a show, and it's just stupid.
Oh, of course.
So I think you got to be careful, man. If you sign up for this stuff, I think you've got to go through with it. Like, in other words, as much of a pain in the ass as this woman sounds, she has very exact specifications for what she wants for her wedding. And if you accept that and you sign the contract, then you better bloody well live up to it. If you decide not to, I respect you just as much.
37 points all in this contract. Yeah. My favorite is point number 22. I will not attempt to outdo the bride in any way. So I get, you know, the superficial things, because she goes into thing, you know, about the hair color, how she wants the bridesmaid to do their eyebrows and no colored contacts. The superficial things, I think, you know, you can dismiss somewhat. But knowing so many friends who've done this and my sisters who've done this as well, who've had to be bridesmaids, it is quite a process. Mm. And even with some brides who will fork out maybe just a portion of the dresses, or they will buy dresses for their bridesmaids. And, you know, you get that tailored and it's a lot of money put in. And then someone comes in 2 months later and goes, sorry, the dress doesn't fit me again. I get something like that. Like, that would piss me off. So, you know, if that makes sense for her and they sign, I guess.
Well, yeah, here's a question.
Too much.
Unrelated question from Ange. We can always get back to the crazy bride in a second.
Yes.
Ange says her mother-in-law blamed her for contracting COVID in Cape Town. She was furious that she couldn't see my son for a week after I tested positive. She also called my family ignorant for not isolating after showing symptoms. So I think this is probably what's happening in families all over the world at the moment, is that you have them turning on each other because you contracted a virus, which, by the way, is what viruses do. So Ange says, should I put some healthy distance between my family and her, or just explain to her that what she did was fucking crazy? So what do you do? I mean, I don't know, because this hasn't happened in our family. If someone in our family got COVID, I think, and again, I believe we may have or may not have. Nobody's been for tests, and nobody cares enough in our family. And if somebody were to die, that would obviously be a whole lot more grave. But at this point, I think we'd just carry on doing what we're doing. But we'd be responsible too, you know. If I wouldn't go around spreading it if I knew I had it. So I don't know what the rule. I don't know what the rules are here. And I think that people, like, within families turning on each other is just very, very dangerous.
That's a lot.
That's hectic.
Yeah.
Why would she blame you as if it's something you intentionally contracted?
Yeah, because she's probably watching too much news, and, you know, they're making it look like people who do this are criminals. You know, if you want to be with your family, and especially over the holidays, which is probably what's happened, and that's why the infection rate's going up, because a lot of people have spent time with their families.
But it seems here like the real reason is that the mother-in-law's pissed off just because she couldn't see her grandson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was furious that she couldn't see my son.
And also, if you've always had a bitch of a mother-in-law, she'll find any excuse to be a bitch. And this is probably one of them. She's probably the kind of person who also put 37 rules down in a contract for her wedding. So I'd just stay the hell away from her for a little while. Let her calm down, and then eventually everything will be all right. I mean, you probably, if you've already done the quarantine period, you can probably go and visit her, but don't rush.
There's also a little thing called karma. So let's wait and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Tracy says
get your husband to deal with him.
Get your husband to deal with her. It's his mother. The mother-in-law needs to calm down, according to Tracy. She will eventually, but enjoy the peace and quiet while she's out of the picture for a while.
Good point.
Vernon is being a lot less gentle about it. He says, tell your mother-in-law to go and fuck herself.
Good point, Vernon. If Ange says that now, you know, she has a good 12 months to get over it before Christmas rolls around again. So that's okay. But what if you guys spend Easter together? Tricky. Never mind. Don't do it.
Woody says, my friend got married last month on the 16th, and on the day before that asked me if I don't want to be a groomsman because all his other friends had pulled out at the last minute, aside from his brother. I'm like, sorry, dude. It's too short notice. I'm working on the 16th. Yeah, that's the right answer, Woody. You don't want to be the last minute person who comes into a wedding. That's not cool. Huh?
Ooh, that's awkward. Oh, it's like being invited to a party a little too late, but you can't even compare it to an actual groomsman.
Well, Steph blames celebrities. Because Steph says, just like a million other things, we've become slaves to the celebrity way of doing things, including weddings. And that's probably true. You know, people watch, now there are 1,000 wedding shows. There are so many reality shows on at the moment. Surely we've reached a peak. I watched a show the other day where the whole point of the show, and I'm not making this up, you might even know what the show is called. I don't remember the name of it, but it's about these people who make miniatures. So they make like doll's house size versions of everything. So like you have to make furniture and books and dolls and jewelry and cars and whatever else. And it's a show about miniatures. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think it's an incredible skill and it's an amazing thing to be able to do. And if you've ever seen Queen Mary's Doll's House at Windsor Castle, you'll know it's one of the most unbelievable things. The skill, the craftsmanship that came along with making every tiny thing in that doll's house is extraordinary. And I have enormous respect for the people who hone their talents over many years because it's not something you just do. But a TV show about it, and people are watching it clearly, otherwise they wouldn't have made that show. It's just madness.
Yeah.
Like there are people who make cakes, and then there's a show about people who make cake decorations.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Surely we've now filled every niche that there is in reality television, or not?
No, we haven't, because I know of a show where cake people war it out. It's literally called Cake Wars. Like they compete on who can decorate better, who can make something the better cake. No, we really haven't.
No, I catch myself watching reality shows often, and I remember that the first time we really had a reality show was Big Brother.
Mm.
And the concept was amazing. But I'm still hooked to reality shows. It's something that, I mean, that's been, what, nearly two decades?
You're not.
And I'm still into it.
Yeah, you're not alone. There are lots of people who love that stuff. It's ironic. I was on reality TV and I don't watch it at all. It's just that I can't.
It's not your thing.
Well, I'm not that interested in ordinary people's boring lives. I would rather read a book. I don't want to see people having a relationship issue. Two people I've never met that I don't care about, that I don't know, that I'm never going to meet. Doing it on TV, like, you know, these wedding shows where they have like a couple who they get married like a day after they've met or whatever. I don't know what the show is called, but it's like these rushed weddings. I'm like, why would I ever watch that? I don't care enough about people having a fight or getting together or
married at first sight,
kissing and making up at the kissing and making up at the last minute or planning their wedding together. Who the hell is that interested in a complete stranger's dull, stupid life? Really? Leanne, we can't hear
you. Leanne, you're on mute.
Because it makes you feel better about yours.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Okay. That's
so I guess
point.
We also won't see you watching My Foot Is Killing Me this week.
What?
That's the show as well.
No.
Come on. Is that just about someone who's got a sore foot? Come on,
someone's
really?
Someone's got to have an amputation, I bet you.
Why does it seem like I'm making this up? There's a show on TLC. It's called My Foot Is Killing Me.
And it's just for people with sore feet.
Just for people with weird issues on their feet. And now they've done, I've only caught a glimpse of it since it's this latest season. And they've filmed it with social distancing protocols. So it's now people who are consulting with the doctors on Zoom. And I swear, it's just people who now bring up their foot to the camera of their laptop. They're like, see, look at my toe. Look at that. Doctor, does that look right? And the doctor will consult. And you see, like, this is what I caught a glimpse of. Yeah, this is bad. A person who has an extremely large big toe, and they're trying to get an operation to put it in proportion to the rest. That's what happens when my foot is killing me.
That is,
I do watch The Meticulous Manicurist, a channel on YouTube. And even though she's called The Meticulous Manicurist, it's mainly about pedicures, ingrowns, pinch of toenails, toenail fungus, all of that sort of thing. And yeah, it's close up. Close up sights of digging stuff out of toes.
Oh my God. You watch this. You actually like it.
Yes. It's so satisfying.
You are disgusting.
Watching people pull all of this material out of the side of the toenail.
Oh my God, that's disgusting.
And here we are when we thought perhaps society would have peaked with Dr. Pimple Popper. But no, there's still so much more to look at.
Yeah, oh, Dr. Pimple Popper is a lot worse when it comes to the gross factor.
Oh,
my eyes are actually watering.
Leanne, my eyes are watering with that story.
And then you also get one called the Toe Doctor, I think. And he gets these like homeless old people in whose toenails have grown and curled right under.
Stop. I can't do this. I'll have to leave the show.
Digging up calluses and corns.
Oh, stop it. It's so disgusting. I can't stand thinking about other people's feet.
Let's see. So TLC for me is the benchmark when it comes to weird and tacky reality shows. Here are just some of the weirdest. I'm pulling up a list here.
All right.
Have you heard of Six Sent Me to the ER? That I have.
No.
Yes, I've watched that.
Six Sent Me to the ER.
People with like broken dicks and things. Or they've put something up some orifice.
Gareth, have you heard of I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant? I'm sure you must have.
Yeah.
90 Day Fiancé. That's quite a big one right now.
All right.
Yeah.
My teen is pregnant, and so am I.
Yes. Watch that.
Sorry, this is so weird. Okay, Long Island Medium. There's a Medium show for everything. Here's one. It started in 2008 called 19 Kids and Counting.
Yes.
There's Sister Wives. Well, that comes with any sort of polygamy. That's a big thing now.
All right, yeah.
And Extreme Cheapskates. That's one of my favorites to watch.
Yeah, and Extreme Couponers.
Extreme Cheapskates. that's
good. Number two of the weirdest shows.
I know some people I would immediately nominate to be on Extreme Cheapskates. I can think of people who would be great on that show.
It showcases people who like will wipe and reuse paper plates, and people who allocate water, a bucket of water for each of their family members in the house. These are people who live in suburbia with running water, etc.
My dad could be on that. Like sometimes he uses my car to collect takeaways if I'm parked at the back. And I get into my car and he's closed all the vents and turned off the fan, and all the windows are up and the radio's off, because you mustn't waste the car, you see.
Of course.
What a way to live. I know. And people like that, they mean well. That's just how they were brought up, but it's just terrible. Okay, so some of these shows have got me thinking that if I were the aliens and I landed here, and I saw that stuff on TV, I'd either blow the planet up and go, listen, there's just no helping. I mean, my teen is pregnant and so am I. And, you know, 19 kids and counting and that kind of thing. If you're an alien, or if you were an alien who wanted to rescue the human race, you'd start by finding the people on those shows and culling them off first. So that the
No one is exempt from falling prey to these shows. The alien would get a bowl of popcorn and watch as well.
You reckon?
Yeah.
It's just unreal. I don't want to ever watch. I don't want to watch fat people running around on TV worrying about their diets. Like there's this 600-pound life show, which people mm-hmm. keep telling me about. Now, if you weigh, what is 600 pounds in kilograms?
300 kilograms.
Okay. If you weigh 300 kilograms, I don't ever want to see you on TV or in real life, ever. I don't want to see that. It's revolting. And watching you raid the fridge at midnight as part of the TV show is not something I want to see. I do not want to go to bed at night with thoughts of that in my head. I'm sorry.
No, but a lot of it's educational. Like you learn about laparoscopic surgery and gastrointestinal surgery.
And people being airlifted out of their house.
That's
like, yeah.
Saggy skin operations.
Disgusting. You shouldn't have to know about that stuff because it shouldn't ever come into your life. I'm sorry. It's disgusting. My 600-pound life, the people who put that show together are obviously genius people because people are watching it. But the stars of the actual show, I just feel so sorry for people like that. I don't want to see them on TV. It's just unnecessary pressure on their already horrible lives. So mean. What's going on there, Joe? Are you moving stuff around? Joe Camino?
No.
No. Where are you, Joe? You at home?
I'm here.
Okay. Are you going to turn on your camera or not this morning? It's up to
yes,
you.
Yes, of course I am. As soon as I figure that out, I'll must enable chat, display number 10, with the videos.
No. Just in the top left-hand corner, there's a little icon that's...
turn on video. You mean that one right there?
Yeah.
There we go.
Hello, Joe Camino. How are you doing? Nice to see you.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. So listen, Joe, I told everybody that you were coming on today to talk to us, and a lot of people were like, oh, fuck, I hate it when Joe comes on because I know I'm going to regret all the money I spent in December. But the reality is, like I was saying when we were talking about you, I said that Joe comes on, and January's the worst time for everybody because they got paid on the 15th of December or before, and then they haven't had income, and they have to wait until the 31st of January, which is just the most incredibly interminable month of all. They probably spent all their money on holidays and stupid stuff, Christmas presents, things that at the time felt like a good idea. But the reality
food.
Is, yeah, right now, people are looking at what the year ahead has in store for them, and their bank account's empty. You know the facts here. I mean, this is just a very, very bad time for people financially.
Yeah, the ATMs are showing a negative across 10 accounts. You know, those slips that I pick up off the ground.
Right.
So most people have paid dearly, and I can't believe a lot of them still even went on vacation. You know, I just don't see it because, you know, I mean, now with this second variant coming in, could it be that we go to a higher level of lockdown again? And already, I mean, I was listening to Hillary Joffe last night on the news talking about 2 million people have lost their jobs. I mean, there's a storm brewing, coming, and it's on the way, and people really need to wake up because it's hitting them from many different facets, you know. Not only their debt, but their expenditure. For example, I'm not going to name the bank.
Yeah.
But they're blue in color. And my card fee, which I argue and they reverse every month, because I don't owe any money on it, was 14 Rand. Now it's 18 Rand this year. That is a 25% increase. That's what that is. And so they have all these policies and things that keep going up, which is what we're going to talk about, at 10 to 15%. when their covers don't go up. In fact, their stuff gets older, and they just go along with it. And I read a real good article a couple days ago from a insider in the insurance industry who's saying, no, your car insurance payment should go up every year, even though your car gets older. You know, it's the old, that's what they tell you, you know, but if you do the right things, you gotta attack that section of your money, because that's where a lot of it's going out. You know, there's a lot of people who didn't get a raise, and a lot of people get 3%, maybe, let's call it 5, but all their outbound stuff, their retirement, their endowment, their education, their funeral,
that's
their
all,
life,
that's all
their
going
car,
up.
Their dog insurance, if you have that. Those are all going up at 10 to 15%, which is a huge drain, and most of them shouldn't be going up.
Well, okay, where do we even start, Joe? Because there are people looking at all of those things at the moment and going, I'm helpless. And they're just sitting on their hands. Now, that's obviously not a solution, and you have to have some kind of plan to get yourself out of the hole. And this is what you guys do at Financial Fitness. I know it's what people pay you to help them with, and it's really, really important that you do it the right way, because many people also, they think that it doesn't matter if you're blacklisted. They think that it doesn't matter if you have debt repayments that are getting out of control. They also think it doesn't matter if your credit card is deep in the red, but it does. And those chickens will come home to roost. And when they do, you're going to find yourself in big, big trouble. That's even if you have a job at the end of 2021, because it's going to be a tough year. So we're not going to depress people, but where do you begin? Where do you start? How do you start to get control of your financial arrangements?
The first thing I would tell people is that dealing with money is a two-pronged issue. There's your debt, and then there's your insurances and investment, okay? Simply put, if your listening audience was to add up all the interest they pay monthly, okay, just the interest, that's the house, the car, the credit card, store accounts, personal loans, whatever, right. Okay? And then add up the interest they make on their endowment, their education, their savings account, their retirement annuity, you will see it is heavily weighted towards the debt. So if you're paying 10,000 Rand a month in debt interest, you're making 1,000 Rand a month in your savings interest, you're actually going backwards.
Yeah.
You're actually going back. So our fundamental philosophy is, first, get out of debt. Don't have these competing interest rates, because you're losing this game. I mean, you buy a 2 million Rand house, your premium's going to be 16,000 a month. That's all interest for 5 years. And somebody sells you some retirement annuity to tell you you're going to be okay when you get old. And you make nothing for the first year because all your fees and everything come off. And then you make 5 Rand your first month after that, and 7 Rand the next month, while you're paying 10,000, 15,000 a month in interest. So you've got to get a handle on that. Once you understand all that, you'll realize that this debt thing is killing you.
Yeah. Okay, so in other words, get rid of the debt first. But, I mean, is there such a thing? Because people always tell you there's good debt and there's bad debt. And very few people in the whole world can go and buy a house cash. Very few people. So you've got to make some arrangements from time to time.
Agreed. And the key is that, you know, you pay off the house as quick as you can, because that's your biggest debt. Now, people talk good debt and bad debt, and I will simply say, I don't think there's anything called good debt. I mean, if all of your panelists here right now had no debt, you owned your home, you owned your car, would you want to have good debt?
No.
The answer is probably no. So, you know, it's part of the argument of, I don't know who puts it out there, whether it's the banks who are, you know, want to help you with their hands for life, you know, want to take your money simpler, better, faster. They want to take it yesterday, today, tomorrow. I don't know how they can help you today, but they're working on it, you know. Put all those slogans together, that's what you come up with, you know. So you've got to focus on that, but you've also got to take control of the investment side. And this is where people just get sold things, you know. I'm looking at an article, from 2013, June. This is Bruce Cameron. And, you know, everybody has these inflationary escalations on their policies.
Yeah.
And he puts this in this article. That's 2013. These clauses are, in effect, mini policies that are issued annually, increasing your premium or contribution on which a new round of commissions are calculated.
Right.
So inflation, like, I don't know about that, you know. So you've got to get both sides of this. But first, the debt thing. Take the credit cards out of your wallet. I'm going to mention that about four or five times in this little podcast today, okay? If, you know, we've had a good run with it. We've had a good run. I go into San Fin and all around, and I see everybody using credit cards.
Right.
And the test, the litmus test is, do you pay your credit cards, all of them, in full every month? And the answer is probably no. That should tell you you have a problem. And you're talking to a guy who used to have about 10 of them. You know, and it started with the first one. I'm going to pay it off at the end of the month. 3 months later, couldn't pay it off in full. Then I maxed that out in a certain time period, and I got another one, which I was going to pay in full at the end of the month.
Right.
And that couldn't, you know, and it just kept building. And most people are building deeper and deeper holes for themselves. And the credit card companies a few years ago cut the repayment percentage. It used to be 5 to 6% of your minimum of your balance was your minimum payment. Now it's 2.5 to 3. So they lowered your minimum payment, so you're in it for, let's say, 55 months. Let's call it 5 years. And once you start understanding what you're doing, the pain has got to come.
Yeah.
You've got to take some pain now.
So, Joe, all right, let's get into some of the practical things. You helped me understand a while ago, and you brought it up just now, how there are these escalations that happen in all the policies and all your accounts, all your bank, your car. And some of them, unless you question them, they're just going to automatically come in. So there's some of them that you can actually ask about, and then they reverse them. You mentioned that with your credit card fees and that kind of thing, your bank fees. So there are things like that that can help save you a little bit here and there. But are there things that you can absolutely get out of that you don't need, especially when you consider – and I obviously didn't go away over December. I think a lot of people chose not to, mostly because if you had gone away, there's nothing you can do. You couldn't go to the beaches. You couldn't use the facilities of a hotel or whatever because you were stuck in a hotel room. So it would have been a complete waste of money. And for many people, they were probably ruining their decision to go on holiday in the first place. But holidays you could cut out. You could cut out buying expensive gifts. You could cut out having to travel because, thanks to COVID, many of us are spending a lot less time in the car. So are there other places you can save?
Yes, definitely. The first one, and I say it every year, and all of our clients and all of our corporate entities who use financial fitness, just today I'm sending it out, is the top 10 money-saving tips. And the first one is always lower your car insurance premium. Mm-hmm. Now, I always try to get people to understand this because, you know, you don't know who you're dealing with until you need to deal with them. And I've heard over 20-plus years of people who get in car accidents and they're declined. They're declined because their tire tread is bad. They're declined. Whatever the reason is, they're declined. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the most recent one is this business interruption insurance. My buddy, I want you to tell his name, but he's paying that for 8 years. And then after the COVID hit, after a month, they told him they're not paying him. And then we saw a class action lawsuit. But let's get back to the car insurance.
Right.
Just to test your insurer, call them and ask them to lower your premium and see what they say. It is standard. And the guy who wrote the article 2 days ago, the insurance guy, says, well, spares are more expensive. You know, that's one of the things they make it kind of sound sensible. Cool. See what their answer is. Then call and get three different quotes. The key is don't tell them what you're paying.
Mm.
Then they'll give you the rock bottom quotes. Then you call your current insurer back. Go, listen, you guys are charging me $900 a month. These guys are charging me $550. Now, if you don't get in any accidents, you're a cash cow. So you send them money every month, and technically they give you nothing. Do they want to lose that cash cow? The answer is no. So a lot of times, and most times I will say, they'll match it. You tell them, listen, you either match this or I'm going to go to these guys. And this way you don't have to keep changing insurance companies. But you have to do it annually. I do it annually.
Okay.
First one. And that's a big one because that's, you know, a few $100 a month right there. Then there's the one that they link to your car, which is house contents.
Uh-huh.
They keep raising your house contents insurance, and they tell your replacement value gets more expensive. Wrong. I bought a 30,000 Rand TV years ago, and every year it came down.
Right.
You know, cheaper. Because new technology, when it comes out, is very expensive. Cool. Well, no problem. But it came down, and they kept telling me, no, the replacement values, you know what I mean? And I live in Fort Knox here in Sandton. Mm-hmm. So they're not, you know, I've never been burgled, thank God. Hopefully they will, because I'll be waiting for them on the other side of that door. But anyway, you know, I said, why did they keep raising my house contents insurance? And my broker at that time said, well, it's not compulsory, but it is automatic. And as soon as I heard, not compulsory. So at first I lowered my house contents insurance, and then I said, you know what? Then I can take anything. I mean, they use this feeble excuse. Well, if they break in your house and they steal your clothes and your utensils and they're not stealing your clothes and your utensils. They're stealing your laptop, your computer, your phone, your stereo, your TV, and all those things are extra on your policy.
Okay.
So I've actually canceled my house contents insurance. I don't recommend it for anybody else because, you know, if you get burgled or whatever you want to, you know. Okay.
Sure.
So you should lower your house contents insurance as well.
Okay.
Then there's the issue of which affects the population of South Africa, these funeral policies, you know. The number I hear is 20,000 rand if you die. First off,
wow.
Go try and price the funeral with 20,000 rand. Go ahead and try. See how much that casket cost you. But the premiums on those things keep going up.
Yeah.
And then there's something called the time value of money, where the rule of 72s, I think it's like your money halves every 7 years in its purchasing power. So 20,000 Rand today and 20,000 Rand 7 years ago, you could have bought a lot more stuff 7 years ago. Your 20,000 is worth 10 today. That's the way it works. Every 7 years, your money halves. So if you got 20,000 Rand funeral cover, in 7 years, it'll be effectively worth 10,000. In 14 years, it'll be effectively worth 5,000. So you understand how that keeps going down, but your premiums keep going up.
Right.
So you got to ask yourself why that's happening. You know what I mean? I'm going to mention it again. Take the credit cards out of your wallet. If you don't have cash, then you're not buying things. You got enough clothes, except for women with purses and shoes, ladies.
What,
I understand
one
that.
Of the,
I respect that.
One of the things I suspect that you would be a fan of, even though I know you're a big freedom and liberty guy, I think it probably, from the savings point of view, it's probably not a bad thing that people haven't been able to buy alcohol because they might not have been wasting so much money over New Year.
Yeah, they're saving a lot of money on those on the pub trips. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, even when I'm the chairman of the social committee of Sand Sports Club, and I see everybody except me uses a credit card.
Yeah.
And we're just getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. And, you know, so that's saving them somewhat. However, it's putting all the restaurants and bars out of business and, you know, under tremendous stress. So, yeah, the alcohol thing is a pretty important one. I'm wondering if they're not going to come back with the cigarette one because they're talking about it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That hurts it. I would also want to say this, to review your phone costs, your cell phone costs.
Mm.
You know, I used to pay $8.99 a month with one of the big companies because of my handset cost. And after I paid off my handset, and for 6 months prior, they were pushing me, it's upgrade time. You need a new iPhone, Joe. You need a new one because the new one is faster. It makes the same, does everything, but it does it faster. And I'm ADHD, so, hey, faster than me, I'm involved. But I just said, you know what, I'm not going to. So it dropped from $8.99 a month to $2.99.
Wow. That's
from
huge.
900 to 300.
That's
$600 a month just on that.
That's a massive saving. And, you know, I fell for that upgrade stuff for many years. And they call you. They phone you up and they say, listen, this is what you can get any of these as if it's, you know. It's
yes, like, pick it from the plethora, anything you want.
Yeah. And the camera's better and this and that. And I used to fall for that stuff. Every year I got an upgrade on my phone. And I haven't been doing that for probably about 5 or 6 years now. And if I really need a new phone, I've probably saved enough money by not having paid that I could just pay it in cash and get it, you know?
There you go. Like, you know, a lot of people don't know, in Sandton, on Sandton Drive there's an iPhone shop. And if you go around the corner, right, we're walking right around the corner, there's a used iPhone shop attached to it.
That's right. It's in the same building,
so you go in there, I mean, my buddy Paul bought an iPhone, an awesome one, and he paid $5,000 cash when the thing was like 11.
Right.
So...
Right.
You know, that's tremendous. If you need it. If you don't need it, you don't need it. But, you know, most of the kids rule the parents nowadays. So when the kids need a, you know, it's time for upgrade, or mom and dad's time for upgrade. They give the upgrade to the kid. That's what they, so he spoiled the hell out of him. And they're creating little monsters like I talked with you on your show, and they keep doing that. So quit upgrading your phone and start cutting your costs. Look at the new contracts that are out there. Some of them are very, very good. There's a lot more players in the market now. So it's getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, and unfortunately sometimes government is making them make it cheaper for us.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, this is all useful stuff. I like the insurance things because that's stuff we can actually do. And because it's the beginning of the year, a lot of people want to tidy up their lives and get things in order. So you make a list of the things that Joe's already said. And that's why it's great that this is a podcast. And you can start calling up your insurance company, your bank, and finding out whether you're paying the most or the least on something that you should be paying maybe the same for. Another couple of things that we will look at is how you save money. And saving money is complicated for a lot of people because most people, I suppose, in South Africa, and you always do the ATM thing where you go around and you pick up people's ATM slips and you read them, and you don't know who they belong to, but you get a very good picture of what's going on at that particular ATM, and that's probably people in your neighborhood. And normally it's not – I know you do move around, but we're not talking about people in a poor area where there's – you know, they don't have cars and they don't have houses. We're talking about people who probably have those things and those costs are coming off every month. There are maybe some other things that you could do. And I don't want us to become cheapskates where we, you know, run around the house switching off geysers and lights unnecessarily because we want to save 50 cents here or a rand there. But there might be things that you can do. Are there other areas that maybe the lockdown has made it possible for us to have less expenses? Maybe you can spend less money on food. Maybe you can spend less money on entertainment. Maybe you can even spend less money on clothes, because let's face it, you mentioned clothes just now, but people aren't going out as much. So why do you need to dress up so much?
Correct. And we have enough clothes, actually. You know, and I always tell the parents, because they spoil their kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at somebody, I mean, if we look at Sia's shirt or your shirt. Yeah, I know, Mr. Press. Anyway,
do we have enough?
You don't know who the maker is. You don't know if that's Armani or Perry Ellis or
nobody.
You
know,
it's actually Dolce & Gabbana. I just
So they go out and they buy this stuff for their kids, and they're spending huge amounts of money when they just got the generic version. I mean, you know, realistically, if you look at the numbers in a downturn economy, Mr. Price does very well on their share price a lot of times. So that's one of the issues, you know what I mean? But when you were talking about savings, Gareth, it's quite important people understand this. A lot of people save money in a bank, and that's a saying, I'm saving in a bank. No, you're not. You're not saving anything.
Yeah.
Because inflation, the real number for the last 20 years is about 8%. You're getting about 5% right now. So that means everything around you is going up faster than your money. And I wrote an article a couple years ago saying I think it's about 22,000 Rand that you have to have in your account every month just to make enough interest to pay the fees. So you're not making any interest in a bank. It's actually a loss. And it's, simply put, why do you save at 5% and pay a home bond at 9%? Why do you save at 5% and pay a car at 14%? You're going backwards.
Yeah.
So it's not savings. It's a fictitious thing, you know? And like I said earlier with the credit cards, there's all these new fees that they've come up with. I guess they're skirting the law or however they want to do it. But they've got all these new fees. So they're feeing everybody to death. So look at what it is you're really making on your savings interest versus what you're paying. I mean, I just saw two very good, I laugh because I don't watch public TV too much, but these couple was getting married, and the first thing the guy says is, you're getting married, you need life cover, first issue. The other one was, you're going to need a retirement annuity if you start now, you know what I mean? Well, wait a minute, you haven't bought a house yet.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to touch that retirement annuity for that house. You're not going to have a down payment for that house. So when you get a job and go with the company's retirement annuity, because a lot of times they match.
Yeah.
You know, there's big government entities that I train that if you put in 1,000 Rand, they match it with 1,000 Rand. A month. That's 100% interest per month.
So, Joe, Woody makes an interesting point here, and this is something to do with your means of research. Woody says, do people still even request ATM slips these days? Because you get notifications now, and that's true. So that might ruin your research tool at some point, because more and more people, I suppose, are using notifications. And Beth?
I agree. I don't get a slip either, because I know some people might read them. But, no, they're still your old school. They want a slip, and they just throw it right in the garbage, or they throw it on the ground, because that's what I pick them up on the ground most of the time.
Oh.
And you really don't need it, correct, because it's coming off on your phone, which, by the way, some banks charge you for. Good point. Every time you use your credit card and you get that SMS, you may be charged a fee for that. So you don't really need it, because you know what you're using, and as long as you review your bill, you're covered. So maybe look at stopping that SMS service if there is, because it's per SMS, that fee.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, it's small amounts of draining your finances, because there's big amounts coming. There's big amounts coming. I was wearing this little e-toll thing. See this?
Oh, Leanne's favorite.
It's a fashionable thing to wear. They're very expensive now. Did you know that, Gareth? They're very expensive.
Oh,
because
really?
if you want one, you got to pay your arrears.
I'm not going to be doing that.
And this article right here.
Yeah.
It awesome. Came out in, this is going to scare people, it came out in October. Motorists have until the beginning of December to comment on the regulations that will see them pay a 100 Rand levy of traffic fine and impose a 500 Rand individual e-toll defaulter fee every time they pass under a gantry.
Oh, man.
500 Rand. Then it says the regulations of R2, they amended the act that was published in the Government Gazette this month, will be finalized, implemented countrywide July. But here's the kicker right here. In terms of the road traffic, which implements R2, it assumes blah, 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 blah. The proceeds could result in 200 Rand fee once the eNATIS account, in other words, what they want to do is link it to your license disc and your license plate and your vehicle.
Yep.
Once the eNATIS account is blocked, the owner of the vehicle cannot renew their driver's license or vehicle license. And if they buy or sell vehicles, will be able to unregister or deregister same.
Right.
So the e-tolls are coming after you as well. So there's other things coming down the road that are going to affect you negatively, because I know Elsa B, my PA, she's got the no toll on her car. And, I mean, she's just wrecked. I can imagine. And I've had this ever since it came out, because I said in my article I wrote, when the government wants your money, they're going to get it. Buy the stupid tag.
Wow.
So, a lot of issues out there that are still okay. coming. And, you know, we got issues with the government workers, rental prices, government workers, state workers, pension fund.
All right. Well,
$243 billion upgrade.
Okay, Joe, I'm afraid we're out of time. I'm not going to call an end to this because it isn't sobering. I mean, Ruth even says, thank you, Joe. It is terrific when you get to hear the truth. And we hear all this truth about the stuff that we all ignore most of the year. It's a good moment to take your finances and sit down with a balance sheet and figure out where you can save, what you can do, how you can cut some costs here and there. And Joe, it's always good to see you. Happy New Year, man, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Cool. Let me just throw this out real quick. What I'd like to do, and I've been doing it for companies, just to help out their people.
Sure.
I do a free introductory webinar.
Okay.
Where I teach them a lot of these. I go in depth. It's 2 hours. I go in depth and I teach them a lot of the tricks that they can fix themselves. Okay?
Right.
So if anybody would like to have that free introductory webinar for your company, okay, just give me a call. Go to financialfitness.coza, financial fitness training, and it'll say on there free introductory workshop. Click on it. I'll respond. We can help what's left of your staff get going. You know, it's going to get rough, people. Take the credit cards out of your wallet. Thanks for the time, Garrett. See you, Ruth.
Thanks, Joe. Good to see you, man. Joe Camino, everybody. And you can find out more from him. We'll post all the links on cliffcentral.com. Sure.
Did you hear him say what's left of your employees?
Yeah.
What's left
but,
of your
But so much, some of it, so much of it is true. And, I mean, if I think about it, I've been with my cell phone provider. I've only been with one all my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that is over 20 years that I've been with this provider. And I feel like phoning them and saying, guys, we need to make a plan because my cell phone bill is too high and I'm actually not even making calls.
That's right.
I've been with you for 20 years. Do you want me to leave?
Well, you can. I mean,
so true. Phone your insurance and say, I need a better price on this.
And you'll be surprised how much they will budge, because they don't want to lose you. You know, they'd rather have you paying a half of what you're paying now and staying with them than losing you completely. So a lot of us are so afraid to negotiate because we think that's just the way it is.
And a lot of us take things for face value. We just don't question these prices and these costs. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm just going to tick, I accept these terms and conditions without even reading or really investigating.
See, that is why I like having Joe on. And I know he makes a lot of us uncomfortable, including me, because he tells you stuff you should and shouldn't be doing that you just do. So I'm always a little bit, after I've seen and heard Joe, I'm always like, oh, God, I've got so much work to do. But now is the right time to do it. So, like, let's all get into it.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I mean, a lot of it is just not having time in your life. We're so busy trying to work to make money that we don't have time to read all the conditions before we click accept.
Well, if there's anything that last year taught us is that you do have time. It's amazing how much time we have if you just manage your time properly. And you don't have to drive anywhere at the moment if you're not working from the office. If you're working from home, you can still figure out how to sort this stuff out. And now's the best time of all. You start the year fresh. You start it with the right intentions. Get your shit together. And who knows? This might be exactly what you needed to hear at this point. So thanks for the info, and thanks for the questions too. You can get all the details on Joe's free webinar and all the rest of it on cliffcentral.com. And we will see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock bright and early. Cheers, Leanne. Cheers, Sia, most especially. Thank you to you for joining us this morning.
CliffCentral.com.